Riyadh Comedy Festival is an international event that's been taking place over the past 2 weeks in Saudi Arabia.
Notable comedians such as Bill Burr, Kevin Hart, Dave Chappelle, Pete Davidson, and more were paid performers, while others declined on ethical grounds.
Significant online debate started well before the festival, but how strongly do people really feel?
And will this have any effect on the comedians going forward? I'm Rihanna Winter.
And I'm Jason Acuna.
And this is Unbothered by WFSU.
Hello, Rihanna.
Hi, Jason.
So we're joined here today by our audio engineer, Evan Rossi. Evan, how are you doing?
Just fine today, thanks.
So guys, we're here to talk about the Riyadh Comedy Festival. It's been causing a lot of online discourse and discussion regarding whether or not these comedians should have taken the gig, whether or not we should be upset that they took the gig. So what do you guys think about this?
Well, this is the latest in a series of attempts, if you're to be cynical about it, to whitewash the image of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. They've done everything from auto races to golf tournaments to the World Wrestling Federation making several shows there. And this is all under the same office and the same cultural minister in Saudi. This is all kind of one large thrust to put a cheery face on the kingdom.
Absolutely. And this is, you know, obviously amidst many reports of human rights abuses, both inside and outside of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia by the Saudi Arabian government. And so, as you said, they've done a lot of public-facing events in order to draw positive attention to what they have going on in their country.
Yeah, and we know that money has been sunk into this because it's not just comedy fans that this controversy has been talked about by, but by comedians themselves who were offered a certain amount of money and rejected it or were dropped out of the gig itself. So we know we know for a fact that people were being offered upwards of $300,000, $400,000 to perform at this festival.
If I may add something, in full disclosure, I am coming out as critical or at the very least cynical of this comedy festival, specifically because I was not invited to attend and perform at it.
Yes.
Really bugs me, still bugs me.
And specifically their ability to perform, if you had been offered to perform there, you would have your actual jokes hemmed in by what the Saudi government would allow you.
Oh, yes. No, I've seen copies of the contracts the comics have had to sign. And it's not that I wouldn't have been able to perform.
Yeah.
It's the fact that it exists itself puts a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah. And
because I'm not a political comic. I'm not really much of a social comic. I'm an absurdist. I think my stuff would have been 100% safe in Saudi Arabia. Still wouldn't want to do it.
But this it comes at a time, I guess, that we're having a conversation in the United States about free speech and some comedians who have talked about how little free speech we have in America have accepted this gig, which a lot of people find to be very hypocritical.
And pundits, politicians, and comedy fans have a lot of opinions about this show, but none more so than other comedians.
And so that's why we sat down with two local Tallahassee comedians to get their thoughts on not only this comedy festival, but what other comedians and fans of comedy are thinking about the comics that performed at the festival.
My name is John Strickland. I've been doing stand-up comedy in the Tallahassee, Florida area and surrounding municipalities since 2018. It's about 7 years now.
My name is Ryan Mawson. I've been doing stand-up comedy for 15 years. I have stayed an open mic comic for a reason. But otherwise, yeah, I'm very opinionated about the comedy scene and comedy in general.
That's great to hear because we want to hear your guys' opinions on some of the comedy news that's been going on recently. A lot of people have been talking about this comedy festival that's happening in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, that's being put on. There's a lot of controversy around whether or not these comedians that accepted the gigs should have gone or whether they should have declined. We have some noteworthy comedians, such as Shane Gillis, I believe, who said he was offered to go but declined. Obviously, there are a lot of contentious feelings, so I just want to get your guys' general thoughts on this comedy festival that's happening in Saudi Arabia.
I've gone back and forth because I've tried to like maybe struggle with this because, again, as a comedy fan and like someone who aspired to do comedy, so I held on to the people who were doing comedy really well when I was growing up as people to look up to, role models. And then, you know, turns out most of them are just monsters in other aspects of their life. It really is disheartening and kind of a struggle to continue to do something in an artistic way when all the other big artists are kind of showing ugly colors. And then, you know, the people that did, you know, seem true blue and, you know, like they had ideals, they turn out to be huge hypocrites in this way. So yeah, I've been struggling. I think I've been coping in my own head with certain things. Bill Burr having spoken outright about how it sucks when artists go over there and, you know, entertain the royals and, you know, just going against the word. It just, I don't know. It sucks, but I guess this is something I'll have to wrestle with.
So do you guys feel as though this is going to be, you know, a widely held belief or thoughts that these comedians have kind of engaged in hypocrisy by accepting this gig?
Well, I feel like, you know, for some of the comedians who are on the lineup, this is not a surprise. You know, I feel like there are definitely some performers who, you know, and I think of Dave Chappelle, for example. You know, I think Dave Chappelle kind of came out recently and said that, you know, he feels like he can speak more freely in Saudi Arabia, you know, than he can here, which I just found to be an absolutely astounding statement. And, you know, just thinking of his experience, you know, I can kind of see his point. You know, the powers that be here have forced him to perform multiple Netflix specials. They forced him to accept tens of millions of dollars to perform here in the States. So obviously, you know, we're silencing his speech here. But, you know, I think about some of the less notable performers. You know, I think of you know, Maz Jobrani, who's performing at the festival. He's a common contributor to Wait, Don't Tell Me over on NPR. And, you know, that's a performer who, you know, I really respect, and, you know, I'm a little surprised as to sort of why he's on the lineup. But, you know, I think there's a wide variety of different kinds of motivation here of why people are doing things, you know. And I think of, you know, I think, you know, one of the things that I think is important to kind of bring up is, you know, we're focusing so much on the comedian's motivation and, you know, and criticizing the comedians for performing there. But we do need to also save some space for why Saudi Arabia, the sovereign investment fund or public investment fund, wants to do this show, right? You know, it wants to be seen as an entity that can bring in tourist dollars, that can be an attraction for everybody all over the world without recognizing the vast amount of human rights abuses that, you know, Saudi Arabia engages in regularly. And I mean, it's a very complicated issue, you know, and something I really struggle with, you know, is, you know, how can we be seen as performers? And not to say, you know, I'm a local stand-up comic and open micer, you know, I'm not at the level of any of these performers, but, you know, I think we find ourselves in positions where we do have to reconcile with the people that we do business with. You know, it's not just a free speech issue. It's a commerce issue. It's a business issue. And, you know, we have to understand that when we take shows and we take bookings, the people that we take bookings with, that we're in business together. We're collaborators, we're partners. And we have to, you know, be seen in the same light as everything that our partners are associated with. And it's hard to separate that.
Yeah, dude. I'm trying to cope with it, but I keep saying, especially after like millions of dollars earned as a comedian, you know, those high level performers, they're a business at that point. You know, they're more than just that name that I attached myself to, you know, maybe a decade earlier. They've grown into an entity now, and the decision on whether or not they're going to go probably wasn't just theirs, you know. And I don't know how much I should try to soothe myself with that belief, or get more angry at the fact that they don't have any control over their word anymore now, you know, like they've just become a product.
Yeah, and people will try to compare, I think, this a comedy event or being hired to do this to possibly being hired by another state. But comedians all the time are doing corporate gigs. And in those gigs, a lot of time, you can't just say whatever you want. A lot of the times the company might say, hey, can you stay away from some of the more controversial topics, which you could compare to what Saudi Arabia is doing. But in this example, I guess, is you have to ask yourself, like, would you do this for a controversial company? Like, a lot of people would consider that maybe like selling out.
I think it kind of goes back to the point of the art and the business are one and the same. It's not something that you can necessarily separate, right? Anybody can go on a street corner and tell their jokes, right? But you're not really going to make much money doing that. And so you have to go to the bars, you have to go to the coffee houses and pizza shops to do those gigs, thinking at a local level, and you got to be willing to do business with the people that are providing that time, you know, and looking at this festival, but also, you know, Rihanna, looking at some of the examples you mentioned of corporate gigs, working with ethically dubious companies. One of the things that I struggle with is, you know, and I'm thinking of some of the lesser known performers who are at this festival right now, you know, we're still reeling from the COVID pandemic. We're still reeling from a year and a half, 2 years where some of these performers are genuinely relying on, you know, touring opportunities and smaller gigs. And, you know, I can imagine seeing an opportunity where you're going to make close to $400,000 for one show to be something rather enticing. But we also have to understand that when we make that deal is with a person who has maybe more baggage than we would expect, right? And we have to be able to understand that, you know, part of making that deal is dealing with the criticism that comes from that, and dealing with the blowback and the pushback that comes from that. And so, I mean, it's a challenging situation, but you know, these performers who decided to do that show, they're going to have to deal with that challenge and that pushback.
Absolutely. And so going off of that, and you kind of just touched on this pretty heavily, but what ripple effects, if any, do you think this might have on comedy and kind of the reputation of these comics in general? Do you think this is going to be something that they're dealing with for quite a while?
I don't think so at all. I think they're going to let this roll over. I think this was, I really think that it's, especially, I'm thinking Bill Burr, Dave Chappelle, like the really heavy hitters, where I think this was already assessed by a group of people, not just by one person. And they weighed out the pros and the cons, and they just took the money, and, you know, they're going to deal with, or just they'll let time will, I mean, what, Louis C.K. is touring now still, and I don't think has stopped for too long. So, like, where Roman Polanski movies are still playing, you know, you still hear P. Diddy songs on the radio. I just think we don't live in a monoculture anymore, and people who do dubious and, you know, otherwise unethical things can survive.
I share Ryan's sentiments there. Yeah, I don't see, at least for the bigger performers, you know, the Bill Burrs, the Dave Chappelle's, Pete Davidson's, I don't see much consequence coming from this. The smaller performers, you know, some of the not necessarily smaller performers, but maybe lesser wide known performers, you know, this might be the first time people are hearing their name. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think for those performers, you might see more consequence coming from this decision, where they may have a harder time getting booked at places that they might normally get booked. But, you know, sometimes bookers can see a performer and say, hey, you did this show, we don't agree with, you know, your decision to do that. And they may choose not to book that performer. And so that could prove to be a challenge for some of the lesser known performers who are on that bill.
Yeah, the hypocrisy element definitely comes in here just for the people who are even getting attention. I think Bill Burr has been the person who has probably gotten the most backlash about that from their own fan base. But no one really talks about Kevin Hart or a lot of the other people at this gig. So it seems to be not even having that big of an outsized effect right now.
I think, well, Bill Burr has the red light, or, you know, just he said something outright about it. I think it was in 2011. And that clip just keeps going around where he trashes Beyonce. And even if he came out and apologized to Beyonce right now, it just kind of sucks because you, as a fan, you listen to his words and you're not feeling the weight or the impact that they once had because of the hypocrisy of it all. But I don't know. Speaking of the future, I think that also maybe they just took this opportunity because they see that comedy or the entertainment business as we see it is completely changing, and they just might be like, grab it while they can. Again, doesn't it really excuse anything, but yeah.
The comedy festival ends this week, so we'll see what happens following it. But John and Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. We really value your opinion on this comedy festival, and we had a great time speaking with you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Appreciate y'all. Thanks.
Thank you.
Unbothered is produced, edited, and hosted by Jason Acuna. Also hosted by Rihanna Winter. Audio engineering by Taylor Cox and Evan Rossi. Executive producers Regan McCarthy and Lynn Hatter, and brought to you by WFSU Public Media.